All right, I'd like to thank everybody for being here. It is an exciting time for the Titans. I also want to thank Tommy for giving us the resources to make this happen. We're very excited to have Ken Wisenhunt as our new head coach. This has been I wouldn't say a long process. It's happened fast. It's been fast and furious, but a lot of work has been put into the last few weeks, and we're excited for where it's going. I think that Ken is an excellent fit for Tennessee Titans, and I'm glad he felt the same way we did about that. We spent several hours talking last Friday night and hit it off. I look for this to be a really fine marriage. Ken is an outstanding offensive coach, but also an outstanding head coach. He has a background with several successful franchises, and we look forward to a new day and creating a new culture with Tennessee Titans. And with that, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you. Well, good afternoon. Thanks for coming. Let me start by saying, you know, it's a great honor to be here today in front of you. I want to thank Tommy Smith for bringing me here. Certainly what Rustin said was exactly that. You know, we had a good talk last Friday night, and we hit it off. Sometimes those things happen, and feel very good about where we're going as an organization, and I'm excited to get in here and get to work.
Going forward, obviously one of the things on everybody's mind is the quarterback situation. You've got a reputation for having worked with quarterbacks and been able to get the best out of them. What's your assessment of Jake Locker?
Well, you know, I tell you what, I just got finished with our season 2 days ago. It's been kind of a whirlwind. So, you know, it's a lot of time that goes into that, especially when you get into the playoffs. So I really haven't had a chance to study that. That's going to be a big thing over the next weeks and months, as far as evaluating our players and how they fit in. The one thing I'll say is I like Jake coming out. And one of the things that I think we've done a good job of with in the places I've been is putting them in positions to be successful. And that's what our goal is to be here.
Ken, can you talk about how you arrived here? I know you said you hit it off with Rustin, but you had I'm not talking about a plane.
You beat me to the punch.
You had Troy the next, I know you're very Cleveland. Why Tennessee? Why did you pick here? And was it a physical struggle for you trying to decide where to go?
It is, it's always a struggle. I think the thing that was difficult was the timing, just because it was an emotional day from the standpoint of having lost a tough game on Sunday and battling to get where we were. So there's a lot of things going through your mind. But, you know, first of all, I was very lucky to have an opportunity to speak with Rustin. You know, anytime any organization in this league has an interest in you, I think it's very flattering. So Detroit and Cleveland, both great organizations. But I think really what it came down to was you have to feel comfortable about the direction that you're going and who you're doing that with. And that's not to say anything about any other organization. I think one of the things that I've learned in my time in the NFL is that chemistry is an important part of this. And when you feel like you have that chemistry and you're excited about it, that plays a big part of it.
How much did you, in the last year, sort of think about your next opportunity and maybe some things you want to do differently or better in this role?
Well, you know, I think you don't think as much. When you're in a season, you don't really think as much about your next opportunity. You know, you're focused on trying to win a game in this league, which is hard. And our season in San Diego was up and down. We were 5-7 with, some 4 games left. And your focus is so much on just trying to finish strong. And we did that. So, you know, I didn't think as much about that. Now, as I sit here today and think about the experiences that I've had in the league, I think one of the important things is that you learn from them. And I think I'll do just that. You know, I was very lucky to have been in a number of different places with successful coaches. We've had a little bit of success, myself as a head coach. And you always look back and think there's things you'd like to do differently. And, you know, thankfully I'm going to get an opportunity to try that.
What sort of systems do you envision running at this point? And are you a 3-4 guy as you've been in the past? And what will your offense look like?
Well, hopefully our offense will look a little bit like it looked this past year in San Diego. We were pretty good. I think we're going to be versatile offensively. We'll have a number of different personnel packages. I think we'll have some up-tempo components with it. A lot of it's going to be dependent upon our personnel and what they can handle. We're going to push them. That's where you have success when you do that. Defensively, you know, there's a misconception, I think, about the 3-4 and the 4-3. 70% of this game now is in sub-defense, which is 4 down, 3 down. You know, you're using both components when you do that. So I know this, as an offensive coach, when you're preparing for a 4-3 and a 3-4, it's very difficult because of the protection issues. So, you know, you have to have elements of four, of both of them. I think to say that we're going to run a 3-4 two-gap defense, that's not what we're going to do.
Ken, when Rod Dowdell walked in 1995, did you think in your wildest dreams he'd be here? Talk about that first experience.
You know what? First of all, I'd like to thank Rod because he gave me my start, and certainly Vanderbilt University did the same thing. I'm very grateful for that, and it's kind of ironic that I get a chance to come back to where it all started for me. But when you're a former player and you're trying to decide what you want to do in your life after football, to get an opportunity to coach college football was unique, and I'm very grateful for that. But it didn't take very long once I got into it to realize how important it was to me. So, you know, this is a special place for me, and I'm glad to be back.
Kenny, where was the place in the interview where you started to say, hey, we see things alike, this can work, I hope this goes somewhere?
Well, George, you know, I tell you, it's good to see you again as well, George. But I think a lot of it had to do with people that we knew in common, people that you have strong relationships with and that you trust. And that kind of set the table. And then it doesn't take long after that. When you talk about your vision and things that you see and things that are important and you agree on them. So, you know, that was a big piece of it, and it was very good.
Would you expect to be the play caller, Ken?
Unless somebody tells me I can't, yes. You know what? I'm quite aware of that.
Ken, as far as your staff, did you have some people lined up already to come with you? And is there a chance that you keep some people from the staff that was here last year that are still under contract?
Well, Russ and I have talked about it, and I'm going to sit down and talk with the staff. And once again, you know, we're looking for good football coaches. And I know there's some good coaches on this staff, but there's also some good coaches that I hope I get an opportunity to speak to. So this is a process that's, with the way the NFL rules are now, it's a little bit tricky. You know, there's some coaches that you'll have to ask for permission to speak to. You may or may not get that opportunity. And there are other coaches that you know are out there that you will get a chance to. So it's going to be a little bit of a kind of a back and forth over the next week or so. But the one thing, and I know talking to Mr. Smith and Rustin both, is that we want to get good coaches and we want to get it done as soon as we can, and that's our goal.
I know the rules are the rules, but you've been denied permission to talk to guys when you were head coach. You've denied permission of your organization, man.
Yes.
For your assistants. I feel like it holds some people back. I know it's the nature of the beast, but if you're a linebackers coach and there could be an opportunity to be a defensive coordinator, would you like to see an environment someday where that move could happen?
Well, you know what? The people that have been in this league for a long time have made great decisions about the league, and they're a lot smarter than I am, and I don't question anything about the way it's structured.
How much influence did Tommy and Rustin have on you to convince you to come here? I mean, was there ever a time when you thought you might be heading somewhere else and they did something to entice you to come here instead?
You know what, I think in this place is special to me, and that has a pull. You know, I think it has, from my experience in playing here, as an opponent coming in here, fan base is great. They're loud. You like that environment. So when you think about wanting to coach in a place where you have that, you know, that's our goal, for our fans to be supportive of us. Now that means we've got to do a good job of giving them a product to be proud of. So, you know, the fact that I felt so good about Rustin and that Mr. Smith and I had many good conversations, and I felt very good about him when I met him. I think that was a big piece of it.
How much did you learn about what not to do as a coach the next time you got a chance?
Well, I mean, you know, there was a lot of good in Arizona, going to a Super Bowl and you know, winning, being in six playoff games. So you try to learn from the good and the bad. I mean, obviously, it didn't end well in Arizona for us, and sometimes that happens in the NFL. But I think looking back on it, you can draw from that and try to correct some things that maybe you do differently.
You said you hadn't evaluated Jake Locker yet, and he's injured, which means you probably won't get a chance to see him very well before the draft. So how do you balance out the decision-making process at the quarterback position, given that you might not know what a healthy Jake Locker is going to look like if the draft will be here before you know that?
Well, you know, I really trust Rustin in his assessment of our team and his staff, and I think that's part of the process. Plus, you can look at some of the things that he had on tape. You know, hopefully I'll get a chance to sit with him and talk with him, because that's a big piece of the puzzle too. But everything that I've heard about Jake as far as a student of the game and how he works has been positive. And for the successful guys that I've been around, that's a big piece of it. So that'll help.
You've had a pretty strong running game where you've been as well, at least you try to emphasize the run. What are your thoughts on Chris Johnson, and do you envision him being part of your...
You know, I haven't really had a chance to look at Chris and this team offensively. I know a little bit more about the defense because we played them, what was it, the third game of the season? Even though that seems like forever ago. But that's going to be something that we look at over the next couple of weeks and months.
What are some of your thoughts on the defense, just in general, on the personnel?
Well, I know when we came in here and played them that I thought they had good personnel. I thought they played hard. You know, there were some issues we thought as far as being able to handle some of the guys up front. And I know the secondary, they played well against us. So you just never know. I mean, that's, what, 13 games later? A lot can change over the course of 13 games. So, you know, part of that's going to be looking at the tape and seeing what we feel like where they are right now.
Ken, Rustin, and I think Tommy certainly agrees with this, and talked about wanting a head coach with a vision and a philosophy. What is your vision and philosophy, and what's that rooted in? What background does that come from?
Well, Ken, I'll answer that in reverse order. A lot of it starts with Joe Gibbs and, of course, Bill Cowher. Both were good coaches that I learned a lot from, I believe. And as far as the vision for our team, you know, I want a smart, tough, disciplined football team. We're going to work, you know, but the important thing is that they're ready to go on Sunday. And, you know, so we're looking for those type of characters, players that fit that mold. And, you know, I think there's a lot of them on this team.
You feel the paint kind of guy in terms of addressing your team, or how would you describe your attitude?
Well, you know, I think maybe some of the players that I've coached before, they would be a good source if you could ask that question. There have been times, I'm sure, where I have peeled the paint. But, you know, I have a lot of respect for these guys in this job. But, you know, we demand that they perform at a high level. And as long as they're doing that, then you really don't have any issues.
How much do you anticipate the screen game being part of your run philosophy? It's not something that's been a big element.
The screen game? To be honest with you, sometimes it's the teams you're playing. We played Cincinnati 2 weeks ago in a playoff game, and it's hard to get a screen against them because their D-line look for the screens, and they do a nice job with it. So, you know, I guess really that kind of goes to the philosophy of trying to do what you think's the best attack against them. So, in a nutshell, maybe there'll be some games where we'll screen it more when we feel like it's a good match, and there'll be some when we don't.
Two games will dictate it. What's a perfect, I guess, run-pass ratio for you?
50-50. How about that? Right in the middle. We were close to that. We were close to that in San Diego. Actually, we were a little skewed a little bit heavily more towards the run later in the season, and that was more of a function of game planning and trying to intelligently attack an opponent that we wanted to keep off the field.
One of the things that this team has had problems with in the last several years, even predating Rustin, is that there have not been enough explosive plays, especially in the passing game. And you have past history in Arizona of being able to get that out of players. What are some of your philosophies in terms of being able to get big chunks of yardage and being creative that way?
Well, we had a lot of success with that, doing some gadget plays and when I was in Pittsburgh. You know, we've had success doing other things in different places. I think it's a function of your team, you know, and what type of players you have and what type of positions you can put them in to do that. You know, sometimes some of the most explosive plays are short passes that turn into long run after catch. So I don't think you go in with the idea we're going to have 15 explosive plays in a game. I mean, what you're trying to do is attack a defense and get some of those shots. But if you think every play is designed to go 100 yards for a touchdown, that's not the way it works. A lot of times where you're successful in this league offensively is getting those 5 and 6 yard completions or runs and keeping it in third and short and converting third downs, because then you can sustain drives. And sustained drives lead to possession time, which, you know, depending on the type of game that you're playing, is a big piece of the puzzle.
How do you feel you and your staff did in Arizona developing young talent? And what's the maybe your philosophy on a leash for a guy in terms of building his confidence, but also pulling him from a game if and when he's not producing to your standard?
Well, you know, some of that is dictated by where you are as a team. I mean, sometimes you have to play with guys, whether they're struggling or not, young players, because of you could have a situation that week where you're injured or you don't have a number of guys at that position. So, you know, I think the biggest thing that you got to have is competition, because I think that brings the best out in players. If they're not going to do it the right way, if they're not going to work hard at it, then they're not going to play. And if you have a healthy environment like that and you have guys that buy into what you're doing, then you have a good chance to be successful.
See this team as a team that's in a rebuilding mode, or is this a team that's ready to compete for the championship, and did you make any promises enough for these guys?
Well, I mean, I think maybe Rustin and Mr. Smith could answer that a little better than me, but I don't think that there's ever a game that you go into thinking that you're not going to win.
As a play caller, are you coming here with a playbook that you're going to then hand to your coordinator and say, learn this, or you want a coordinator to bring his ideas that you want to learn from? How do you approach that?
Well, I've never been opposed to ideas, because they're an important part of growing in this business. I've learned a lot from a lot of different people. I think we have a good base system that we're going to run offensively, but you're always welcome input, and you have a chance during OTAs and training camp to try some of those things and see how you like them. Sometimes you never know how it's going to go. I mean, there have been run schemes that we've gotten into later in the season that have been outstanding that we didn't think looked great in training camp. So, you know, I think we have a base offense. We have a core offense that we're going to run. We've had success with it in a number of different places with a number of different players. But as you get the opportunity to work with coaches that you think are good coaches, they have ideas. And, you know, you're always open to incorporating those ideas.
Yeah, how much more closely do you work with the quarterbacks than you might a linebacker or a starting safety, say?
Well, you do just because you call in the plays. So you're involved with every play you call in practice, because you got to get used to hearing them and talking them and that interaction. So, you know, obviously as the head coach, you have interaction with your defensive players, but your defensive coordinator is doing the exact the same thing that the play caller is doing on offense. So obviously your interaction with them as much is a little bit more limited.
So in terms of that, will you hire your defensive coordinator as an offensive guy? Will you turn it over, kind of turn the defense over to him and say it's his show to run, or will you have input on game day there as well?
You always have input, but you also trust the coaches that you hire. You hire good football coaches for that reason, and I think everybody works together as a team.
Ken, what's your policy on media attending practices?
You know, that's something that we've got to talk about.
Thank you.
You got any suggestions? I bet. I would guess that you do. But you know, I've been in every team that I've been with, they've done it differently. So I think that we'll talk about what we think is the best thing for us going forward, and that's what we'll do.
If you work with quarterbacks and you're known for Roethlisberger, Warner, but you were tight end, coach tight end special teams, you played a little quarterback, I guess, at Georgia Tech. Why is
a little
it
bit.
Good, yeah. Why is it you're good with quarterbacks?
Well, first of all, thank you for saying that. But
that's what they say.
So, yeah. You know what? I couldn't give you an answer for that. I think it's more about trying to put those guys in the best situation. They're high-level competitors. They're guys that want to do it the right way, and they want to win. And, you know, maybe it's just as much them as it is you. I think I've been very lucky to work with some good quarterbacks, and you know, they've played well.
You know, how tough 4 years of position is, how difficult was it, the choice? Because it's kind of a unique situation here with a quarterback on a one-year deal.
How difficult was?
How much more difficult did that make the choice? Because I mean, you know how important that position is to you and your future.
Well, I think you got to look at everything. You know, it's certainly an important position, but there's a lot of things that go into being a successful football team. A lot of it obviously starts with how you feel about the people you work with, and I feel great about that.
Ken, a lot of people have labeled Jake Locker as being injury-prone. In your opinion, is that a fair label to put on any player? Is it just sometimes come down to Locker, you know, luck of the draw with injuries?
Well, you know, I can't dispute that, what you say. I mean, sometimes it is luck. Sometimes guys have bad luck. Sometimes guys are maybe a little too tough for their own good, not smart enough in certain situations. You know, I've seen that happen before, too. As far as Jake specifically, you know, when you're on another team, you're not as aware of what his injury history is or how those things occurred. So I really couldn't speak to that.
But I mean, in general, is it fair to label somebody as injury prone, or is it kind of a case-by-case basis, do you think?
I would have to say maybe it's more of a case-by-case basis, I would think. Just sitting up here talking right now.
Is there a skill to durability in a way, partially, for a quarterback?
You know, I think you could probably debate both sides of that, to be honest with you. I think one of the things that I believe as far as along those lines is the off-season program and what you put into that. You know, I think that I know as a former player that we used to always say you train hard in the off-season not to start camp but to make it through the season because it's a physical grind. And I think that, you know, one of the things that's important is how you work, and you work smart at times, but yet you also push them to work. So, you know, there's a balance there. But I definitely believe in today's game that training and how these – players stretch and how they take care of their bodies is an important piece of that.
Can the contract 4 years or five?
I don't remember. What is it, Russ?
I don't remember either.
What is it, Don?
Contract?
Yeah.
Is it possible that you could take a quarterback in the first round? And if so, will that be your call? Who will be starting a quarterback? Will that be a consultation? How would that process play itself out?
You know, Rustin and I think we would say anything is possible. You know, in my discussions with Rustin, and we haven't had specific talks about that, but I'm comfortable up here saying I feel strongly enough about Rustin that we're going to take the best player that we feel is available for the Titans organization. And, you know, that's one of the big reasons that I came here was because I felt strongly about Rustin and his belief in football.
Talk about your base offense. Where are you on the two tight ends versus fullback issue? The tight ends are a bigger part of the.
I'd like to have both. Two tight ends and a fullback, but you know, you've got to have tight ends that can play fullback. You got to have a fullback that can also sub into a tight end position. You know, with the 53-man roster, that's the way it is. You're gonna. But the big thing is the guy that's playing that position, whether it's your second or third tight end or it's your fullback, has got to be an integral part of special teams. Because in order to be a successful team, that's how you have to put the team together. So I guess what I'm saying is if it came down to the 53-man cut, and, you know, when Russ and I are talking about it, if you've got a guy that's a fullback that's a tremendous special teams player, he's going to probably have a role on this team.
Ken, did you maintain, I guess, relationships with people you met here, I guess, during the 90s? Are those people reached out to you, I guess?
Well, I would appreciate it if you wouldn't make me sound so old by using the 90s term in that question. But, yes, to answer your question, I have. I've stayed in touch with them through the years. And like I said, we've played here a number of times when I was in Pittsburgh and when I was in Arizona and even last year in San Diego. And generally when we come back here, you get a chance to see them again.
What's your handicap? And is this the time of year where you usually get to work on that? Instead,
I haven't worked on it. It's bad right now. And I don't foresee getting an opportunity here to work on it in the near future, but maybe this summer sometime.
You mentioned some of the struggles earlier that you had in Arizona at the end of 2012. What do you think were some of the bigger contributing factors? And I guess what did you learn from that experience as well?
We had a lot of young players, and we had some injuries that put us in a tough position. But, you know, the team stuck together and they played hard, and I think that's an important piece of it, because like I said, this year Coach McCoy and Tom Telesco in San Diego, they did a great job with the fact that even though we were at 5-7, the team stuck together, and when you do that, you know, whatever your record is, you have a chance to work through that and pull out of it. And you know, the way I look at it in Arizona is it was tough, but The guys never quit, and they worked hard.
Coach, you're coming out of a strong division. Kind of talk about moving to the AFC South and having to face the Colts twice, you know, instead of the Jaguars and Texans.
Well, you know, the AFC South is something that I've got to learn a little bit more about. We played them this year, so you know, I feel like I know a little bit about them, but mostly it's from the offensive side of the ball, looking at the defensive perspective. But so I really couldn't speak intelligently as much on the division.
Ken, part of the away from the football, you talk about coming back here and everything. Yeah, I guess this is your Chamber of Commerce question here, but Detroit, Cleveland, Nashville, those choices personally, how much did that component play into your professional decision?
Well, I mean, you know, I've been in all kinds of different places. So, you know, it's not like it was more about location than anything. I think the thing that's become important to me is where I am in my career is feeling comfortable with the people that you're working with and feeling comfortable with the organization. I felt great about Rustin, about that working relationship, and I have tremendous confidence in Mr. Smith, and he wants to win, and I'm excited about that.
What role did your wife and family children have?
Well, my kids loved it here. No, I can't beat around the bush with that. So, you know, that's definitely a bonus.
When you met with Rustin on Friday, and it was in between, I guess, a couple of other interviews, did you know at that point that this is where you wanted to be, or how did you arrive?
You know what? I'll be honest with you. I didn't really think much about it at that time. I knew that I liked Rustin and that I liked this organization, but, you know, it's you have a short window of time that you can spend while you're still involved with it, and as I said last week, my focus was entirely on that game and trying to be prepared for that game. So until that game was over and until Rustin called back, you know, then it really wasn't prevalent in my thoughts.
Do you have an agreement in place with any assistants, and what's your timetable for assembling the staff?
Well, I wish I could tell you that. Do I have any agreements? No, I don't have any agreements in place with assistants. My timetable on it is to move as quickly as I can. I think that there's a number of coaches that I like, and I know that there's a number of coaches, based off the text messages that I'm getting, that are interested in coming here and working with me. So I think that that process will be one that we're going to attempt to move quickly on.
How long was it after their game? See, what day did you play? Sunday, yeah, the next day.
When Rustin mentioned, I think in a statement the other day, he said the philosophies are pretty similar. What are those philosophies that the two of you guys seem to hold in similar about the respect?
Well, obviously what I've already said about our football team, about what type of high-character players that play hard, that are going to compete as part of it. But I think personnel-wise, too, that was a piece of it that we discussed in our meeting that I felt so strongly about. You know, the type of player that we're looking for and the process that we go through in finding his player. He's got a very good staff. I know some guys that are on that staff, and I feel good about that. And I feel good about the inner working of his staff and the coaches and coming to the right consensus of the best players.
How does that extend as far as, you know, game planning, offensive, defensive, too, those kind of philosophies?
Meaning what?
The way you guys are in the same way of thinking, philosophy-wise, does that extend as far as, you know, what type of offense, what type of defense both of you guys?
Well, I mean, I think I would say that you know, we're looking for the best football players. And obviously we have an offensive scheme in mind as far as what type of players are going to best fit that. But we're not going to turn down good football players because they don't specifically fit a scheme. I think one of the things that's important is that we adapt what we do to try to fit what our players do best.
Tommy, and how involved were you in the process, and what are the impressions or the qualities that made you want Wiz as a guy?
You know, Rustin and I have worked closely for quite some time and defining the characteristics that we were looking for in a head coach. And as time and time again, we came back to Ken. I've always said we were looking for someone who was intelligent, who understood the type of, and wanted to play the type of football that we want to play here, which is hard-nosed. And he has his work product is something that you can see every Sunday. He's got a good view of that. The run game, all those things. I've said I wanted to hire intelligent people, give them their job description, and let him run with it. And I certainly have an intelligent man here who I think is well-versed in all aspects of the game. And the fact that he's going to be the play caller delights me. And so, Paul, does that kind of give you what you need?
Why are you so excited about him calling the play? Why is that a big
deal? I just like that. You know? I think that's it. I'm just drawn to that.
How time did it play out in your mind? I guess you had Mike Zinn in your office maybe on Monday, and then your coach ends up being through with him. How did that play out?
Well, we went through an orderly process, Jim, and we did have Mike in on Monday, and he certainly is a very highly qualified individual. Wanted to have one more conversation with him. But at the end of the day, Ken.
Yeah. Have you met Ken before today?
No.
How much did you guys?
We talked on the phone. He came in this morning. He spent time with me. He got not only to meet me, but he got to meet Susie and Amy, which is a very important aspect. He's met Kenneth now. And as you know, we're a family business. And so our conversations gave me a great deal of confidence. And I have a great deal of confidence in Rusty. We've talked ad nauseum about what we expect out of the football team and what we're going to build here.
Were you surprised you were able to get him?
I was delighted.
Yeah. I mean, there was so much, and I don't know if it was real and how much it was manufactured, but there was so much buzz about him going to Detroit. I mean, did you think that you were in the race for him, and what kind of let you know you were in the mix?
You know, I was wishful that we were in the race. You never know at the end of the day, but I thought we had a good shot based on their conversations. I think we have a good team. I think this is an attractive job. So I was very optimistic that once we got together, that we could strike something.
Where were you when you got the news that you had gotten Ken, and what was your reaction?
I was on the other end of the phone. I was in my office with Rustin.
Rustin, how much of a sales pitch and how much did you have to work this to make it come together?
You know, we had to work it, but it was more just us talking football and philosophy and things like that and seeing eye to eye there. I think it was that as much as anything. You know, he's obviously a very bright guy, and he can sift through things and make his own decisions. A recruiting pitch wasn't necessarily needed there. It was just more about, like I said, talking football and philosophy and direction. And you know, I do, though, think we bring a lot to the table with this team and this city. And, you know, there is a lot to sell here.
When you were flying back on Friday, did you know that he was your guy? Did you evolve?
Well, I knew that he was a guy that would make a great head coach for the Titans. I did.
Ken, do you believe the coach should motivate the players or the players should motivate the players, or is there a combo?
I think there's a combo there. I think that's a fair way to say it. I mean, it is important for the coach to motivate the players, but an easy way to motivate the players is if you don't do it right, you're not going to play. So, you know, that's a great motivation. Competition's a great motivation, too. So, you got to create the right environment. Guys got to want to play together. It's really, football is the greatest sport because it's a team sport. It's not a sport of individuals. And if guys don't buy in, they don't fit in. That's the atmosphere you have to create, and that's our job to create that. It starts by picking the right guys. It starts by creating an atmosphere of competition, which is allow these guys to put their best foot forward. And then, you know, having two good men here, that helps me, and that's an important piece of it.
Russ, I know Ken got one at Locker, but do you envision Jake Locker getting one more chance to kind of prove himself in 2014, I know something still needed to be talked about between the two of you, but is he your guy?
Yeah, I think that's something we'll continue to discuss and go through, but I wouldn't anticipate Jake having a good chance to do that.
How about, do you anticipate Chris Johnson being part of your football team?
Well, those are things, we just got a new coach, those are things we have to talk through, and we'll do all that. I have been totally focused on this process, and you know, getting it done as fast as we could. And so, and doing that, but coming away with a quality coach, which we did.
Well,
so.
Was there ever a scenario where if Ken didn't work out here that you would have been patient enough to wait all the way through the Super Bowl to fight somebody? And how much of that sense of urgency did that help him?
You know, had it not happened with Ken, and it did, so it's a moot point, but I think we would have regrouped and talked some more and figured out with Tommy what direction we wanted to go.
Did you feel like you and Ken, when you talk about how you hit it off, feel like you got the same vision and agreed on most everything you discussed in the process?
Yeah, I think our vision was very similar. And when he talks about smart, tough, competitive football players, I mean, that's the way I was raised in this business. And so from that standpoint, we would be exactly on the same page.
And Rustin, a lot of others would have done your job the last 9 days that you were allowed to do. Talk about your working relationship with Tommy since Mr. Adams passed.
Well, I mean, it's been great. I mean, we talk pretty much every day. And if it's not on the phone, it's by email. We have been in constant contact. He's very passionate about this team and winning and making things better here. I think one of the things that we've all three talked about was changing the culture. And I think that started and needs to continue to go in the right direction. And that's what Tommy wants to do. And so we talk about that all the time, but our relationship has been good, whether it's talking about football or other things. So it's been very positive for me.
Rustin, you mentioned changing the culture a couple times. I'm sure you've addressed it in ways. What is the culture that this organization wants?
To me, it's just it is everybody pulling the same way for a common goal of winning a championship. It's in the locker room. It's in every part of this building. And I think this city deserves us to be focused on that, and that's what it is.
How close are you to that right now?
I think we're close. I think the way our team played through some adversity this year was impressive. I don't think that would have always happened every year that I've been here. And so, you know, for me, I think it's close, and we just need to continue in that direction.
Have you liked that culture?
I think at times. But there's a lot of good people here, and we'll continue to go in the right direction.
Ken, you talked about giving the city something to be proud of and rally around. Tickets are sold here, but people haven't been showing up. And the general tone about this team is down. What's your obligation beyond fielding a competitive football team to helping change that?
We got to give people confidence that we're going to do just that. I think, Tommy talked about a number of things that they want to do, a number of initiatives to make it a better experience for fans, and that's important. I mean, we want fans in the stadium. I can tell you this, in Denver 2 days ago, it was a tough environment because of the fans in the stands. And I know it's been that way here. I've experienced it as an opponent coming in here. And I think that one of the things that's important is that we get that back. And, you know, it's up to us to make sure that we get the right guys out there that are going to represent us well. And if we do that, what is it they say? They will come.
Last question.
Coach, if you have to look for a quarterback this year, next year, you work with some of the top in the league, what type of quarterback do you look for? This franchise has been known for athletic, scrambling quarterbacks.
Kurt Phillip Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
How about that?
So if he gets a free agency, we can put you down as a suitor?
All three of those guys combined? Yeah, sure.
Do you have some guys in the building? You have some guys in the building that you will tell Ken, hey, I like this guy, we should consider keeping him on staff, or is this strictly...
We'll talk about guys. That's typical in this situation, but in the end, I'll let Ken make those decisions.
If we could get a photo, all three of you guys standing here, with helmet here, put Ken in the middle. Let me know when you guys are good back there.
Are you still good?